Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it breaks your heart. It's designed to break your heart.
He's got room. He makes the play. And the Yankees have eliminated the Red Sox.
The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again.
Bregman hits his first Fenway homer.
And it blossoms in the summer. Filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops.
We didn't play defense. The pop-up drops, he's a double, then we walk. It just didn't happen for us tonight.
You count on it, rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive.
Abreu scores! Roman Anthony's first walk-off hit!
And then just when the days are all twilight, when you need it the most, it stops.
Check swung on, and he went around. He's gone.
And the inning is over. Well, for the Red Sox tonight, this 2025 season that thrilled us so much.
Narvaez, a wall ball, and the Red Sox win it.
While sad, it is wonderful to look back on all the great memories.
The Red Sox are going to the playoffs! Say Dad! Say hello to October!
That we shared together.
And a team that all year long dug deep, found ways to answer back. Tonight just came up a little short.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well done, boys. As the text line says, how about them Yankees, baby? You know what? Screw you, 603. We don't want to talk about that just yet. But the Yankees did advance. The Yankees did pull off the historic win, 4-0. Cam Schlittler, 8 innings, no walks, 12 Ks. Kind of a silly performance when you think about it as a 23-year-old Walpole native. Imagine that, Ted Johnson.
Man.
Go back to 23-year-old Ted Johnson.
Yeah.
You're on the pitcher's mound at Yankee Stadium, and you get 12 strikeouts. You win the, like...
Well, I was in Michigan Stadium and got Big A Player of the Week.
Jesus.
Does that count?
This freaking guy.
Brag.
Was that brag?
That's a great story.
It wasn't, you know, Yankee Stadium. No, I get you. Go ahead. Continue.
That's a pretty cool spot for that kid.
It's an incredible spot.
That I would appreciate more if it didn't happen against the Boston Red Sox.
I mean,
and
what are you going to do against that? I mean, well, I know the defense could
a normal
have been a little
team
bit
might
better.
Try to, I don't know, get some base runners on, not strike out every time, put the ball in play.
Well,
I don't
a pitcher's
know.
Pitching like that, bro. It's hard to generate runs, man.
And that's postseason baseball. And that's why I think really just reality caught up to the Boston Red Sox. The reality of what your lineup is. We'd talk so long, you know, my outlandish play radio theory that you're better in the regular season without Devers, but boy, could you use a Devers in a postseason game, a big bat. Even though the Yankees' big bats aren't really why they're advancing, it's because they kind of hit seeing eye ground balls and you made some mistakes defensively. But the Red Sox are now in the offseason, unfortunately, and that allows us a quick look back at the regular season and playoffs. Nick Fitzy Stevens, before I give the poll results today, I want to get all of us to share our opinions right off the bat. Was the 2025 season a success for your Boston Red Sox?
Oh, absolutely, on multiple levels. You made it to the postseason. Sadly, you didn't get any home postseason games, but you made it to the playoffs. I'm sure ownership would have loved a couple of playoff gates. But yeah, You're a wild card team. You made the playoffs, so good on you. And also, the other reason I believe it's a success is you found some of your keepers. You found some of your players of the future. The youth movement began this year, and you have now seen that there is value in for your team or possibly a trade with players like Marcelo Meyer, possibly Jaron Duran. We'll see about that. Your pitchers, Connelly Early, Peyton Tolley, Kyle Harrison, and most especially, you have the tent pole of the franchise. You have your North Star in Roman Anthony. So this was a successful season on multiple, multiple levels.
I was going to say 89 wins, your most since 2021. Mm-hmm. 786 runs scored, most since 2021. 676 runs allowed, Ted Johnson. Fewest since 2018.
Yeah.
Obviously got your first playoff appearance since 2021. Was this a successful season?
Yeah, but... Oh,
that's not feeling very strong.
Say, yeah,
pick
but,
a side, Johnson.
Yeah, but it was, if you had to make me choose, I'd say yes.
But not 100%.
There's going to be a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth because what team in the AL really scares you? I mean, the AL was there to be had. And that's the unfortunate part. There were teams that, I don't know. I mean, the Yankees are beatable. Well, you know, watch. They probably get swept against Toronto. Who knows?
But they're scarier.
But I will make some degree of excuses for the Red Sox when you consider Tanner Houck, Hunter Dobbins, Tristan Casas, Liam Hendricks, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Lucas Giolito, and then the trade of Rafi Devers. That's a lot of guys that you were kind of depending on going into the season that some gave you a little something, but most of those guys gave you nothing. And for them to get to where they got, at the end of the day, I would say yes. But then there's going to be a little bit of a caveat when you consider they could have maybe done a little bit more of the trade deadline if you just got one pitcher at the trade deadline. Maybe even a bat. I mean, you had Rafaela going 0-for-10. I think you had Romy Gonzalez only getting a hit. You had Jaron Duran hardly did anything in this series. I mean, and those are three big bats in your lineup that gave you nothing. So it's a success, but there's going to be a little bit of a but at the end.
It's absolutely a success. I'll say it a little bit more definitively than you. Some of those numbers you just talked about. 4 years, you haven't been in the postseason. You've been a last-place baseball team. Forget about postseason. You've been a last-place baseball team. We've had to deal with all that crap that we had to deal with the Patriots in some of the down years, too. Where, is there still a path to the playoffs? Are they maybe a wild card? I hate that crap. You knew they weren't a wild card team. You knew the Patriots weren't a playoff team through those years. This team earned themselves a spot in the postseason. And in the end, you weren't really good enough to compete. You say who scares you in the American League? Certainly not the Red Sox. Like, if you looked at this Red Sox team from Detroit, Cleveland, New York, Seattle, anywhere else, you're like, wait, you guys are starting a guy in a playoff series that just joined the big league club like 20 days ago? Or your number four hitter is Masataka Yoshida, a guy who can barely hit the ball out of the infield? I've never heard of the bottom half of your lineup. I'm not even sure who some of these guys are. So I think they played above their heads on some levels, especially, Fitzy, when you look forward. Had they been able to steal this series, either in Game 2 or Game 3 and advance to Toronto, holy crap, I don't know what they would have done in a five-game series. Like, I don't know.
And one starter.
You have and no lineup. It's like you have one starter and no lineup, but go win a series that goes five games. It just makes no sense. Like, it's great they made the playoffs. Now reset, recalibrate. You have hope. Young guys get back out there, get healthy, add to it, all of that. I don't know why we're so hesitant to call it a success. It's like that hard-o culture, which usually I'm the head of the hard-o culture. But
I was gonna say, you speak it well.
But Fitzy, it's that whole, like, we're Boston. If you didn't win a ring, it don't mean no thing.
You know, can you give us a few days, a few weeks, like a month to kind of, you know, just the loss happened last night. So I think the way you feel about the team now is going to be different than how you feel in a month from now when you can look back and you're like, you know what? I was a little hard on them. I think there's a little bit of that because you think, okay, one, we're going to look at, to me, the reason they didn't advance to the ALDS is because of the night on Wednesday night, the game Wednesday night.
Oh,
not last night's game, but Wednesday night.
Correct.
And so we need, clearly, more pitching depth because the 2 and 3, I think, pitchers for this team kind of let this team down, and ultimately is the reason they are not advancing, is because 2 and 3, what we thought there in July were dependable, they turned out to be unreliable in the end.
They need a hitter. They need a huge bat. They need a bat that you have to either pitch around or that strikes fear in the hearts of teams and can deliver in the clutch. Sure, Aaron Judge didn't go yard. You know, Stanton only had the double that he thought was a dinger. But you still feared them, and you had to, like, come up with whole game plans. And that's the entirety of what the defensive and pitching scheme and operation was for the Red Sox. When we're sitting here going, like, oh, man, I can't believe they didn't play Sogard in Game 3. How far has the offense fallen? How desperate are the times and measures when that's what Sox Nation is bemoaning? You had a chance. You should have tried to do everything you could to put your foot down. I remember we talked about it this week. Had to be a kitchen sink affair on Wednesday, because if you got to Game 3, the warts, the holes, and the check engine lights would reveal themselves, and the Sox petered out.
So you strike out 13 times. And I'm going to read you batting averages and tell me, you know, what resonates, what your take.
Okay, all right.
091, 385, 300, 571, 0, 143, 0, 0, and 111. That's your lineup. Those are the averages of your lineup. So other than the 234, which 571, bang your chest, my guy Yoshida, 571 for the series. You had three guys hit above 140 in the series. Three guys hit above 140. Yeah. The Yankees had, I believe I did it quick, eight guys hit above 250.
Yeah.
So they didn't crush you. They weren't the big bad Yankees hitting the ball 600 feet with Giancarlo Stanton.
It's more about how bad you were.
Yes.
More than it was how good they
you
were.
You couldn't even, you were inept offensively in this series. And all that being said, Ted, that rhymed, Nate Eaton, if he runs, you score, you win.
Yep.
But that right there, even that example kind of tells you something. You're like, Nate Eaton. Why is Nate Eaton in such a key situation with the season on the line? You know what I mean? If that's Duran, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. You know who Duran is. He's your speedster. But Nate Eaton, the season hinged on a decision made by Nate Eaton, who really probably shouldn't be on the team, mm-hmm. who probably shouldn't be on the field. And that is why I think this was just simply reality catching up to them. This is really who you are. You're a team with very little pitching. You're a team with no lineup to speak of. And even some of your good players, they were heckling you earlier. I actually think Bregman was fine in the series. Nothing special, nothing terrible. Mm-hmm. You had a couple text hecklers like, hey, where's St. Bregman?
Yep,
was that $40 million worth of contributions?
That was a rough one. Rough one last night. The way the season ended, a little bit rough. After that injury, he really quite wasn't the same. That is unfortunate, but I will say this, you know, the hitting woes that this team, you know, basically showed us here at the end should be remedied, if you will, by Marcelo Mayer, by Roman Anthony.
Like, yes.
I think they need to go out and get a pitcher. The hitting might already be on the roster.
No. They need a bat. They need a big bat. I like the Roman Anthony, Marcelo Mayer. I mean, the password or Campbell might be in a conversation depending on trades.
Yep.
But you need a bat. You need a tent pole bat. When you get to this position, if you're fortunate enough to get to this position next year, you need a guy that you paid $30, $40, $50 million in the offseason to. 50 is probably a little strong. Bring it down, Andy. Let's go 30 to 40 million. Who you can really, some agents were like, yeah, that Hart guy in Boston knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, tune in to EEI. Yeah, I like that guy.
But you need a tent pole bat. You know, players over plays. I'm going to beat the hell out of that Brian Hoyer quote. Players over plays. Pete Alonso, somebody who you assume, he may not get the job done, but you assume the other team is worried about him. You assume other fans are worried about him. You don't have that guy. Yes, Diz.
Was Devers a tent pole bat?
Yes, that's why you could have used Devers. He was just a DB bat in the regular season. You need the tent pole in the postseason and get rid of the DB during the regular season.
Now that it's all over, the Devers move. Successful or
100% successful.
It was successful.
And we're also going to continue, and this will be a narrative throughout the offseason, where does that $30 million slot go? That $30 million payroll slot.
Soccer.
No, it doesn't go to
Liverpool.
Soccer. It's a pay.
Oh, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, Fox Sports Allegheny.
No, it is going to. That one's going to be invested.
We're going to be tracking that money, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We're, you still got
always follow the money.
Always follow the money.
Yep.
This team,
so
I mean,
there's expectations to spend big this offseason.
If you wanted to, you could also follow some of the other money. Now, this is a little muddier, but you offered Juan Soto 700 and, well, whatever you offered him. You didn't get the deal done.
It was a lot.
Where's that money? Did you reinvest that? Was that a one-off money, or was that in the budget to be spent? Because even though you gave Bregman $40 million a year, well, it might only be $40 million if he opts out. Might not even per year.
I don't think he's going to opt
out. I don't know if you guys read the latest from Chris Cotillo this afternoon, and we'll have plenty of time to unpack this as the days and weeks progress. The Red Sox, according to Cotillo, might be willing to let him opt out and walk now because of the injury concerns.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he's going to find all that money out there. I don't know how he...
I'd agree.
I know Boris has big cojones and can promote things and kind of... position them to look really impressive. Bregman had a good year. But if you pay for the $40 million a year or whatever long term, you're banking on a lot of that being leadership and him sitting on the bus. He absolutely delivered there. But is that good enough for $40 million? I feel like there's other leaders around baseball that might do it for 10, 15, 20.
Nope. Not with the rings. Not with the hardware.
There's rings every year.
And you need his defense is excellent. So
his defense is good.
It's excellent.
It wasn't to start the year.
Very, very good.
I mean, we do count all 162, right?
What about Marcelo Meyer?
He sucked to start the year.
Yeah. What about Marcelo Meyer? If he decides to opt out, somehow the Sox go, that's it, fine. We'll pay way too much for Kyle from Waltham. Could you handle Marcelo Meyer at third and Kyle from Waltham coming back to town?
Oh, absolutely. Kyle Schwarber would love to see. Pete Alonso would love to see.
Love to.
Kyle Tucker was a name I threw out there earlier in the year, and then Kyle Tucker went through a very weird season with the Cubs, health-wise, stinking-wise, basically
fan of his.
Benched.
Left-handed bat,
yes.
too.
Like, before this year, I was all in on that idea. There's guys out there that you can spend that $30 million slot on, and if you let Bregman walk, now you're talking about two $30 million slots because you got the Devers one, and then not that you're going to go to $40 million in the post-Bregman slot, but that's two big bats, Fitzy.
The Pete Alonso thing, I know Bradfoe's going to join us momentarily. I was asking him about that. I'm just a big fan, and it's a power right-handed bat, and he's got postseason experience as well. I know the Mets went in the toilet big time just last week. I think he's probably going to move on from the Metropolitans. That would be very alluring to me. I just like a big right-handed bat at first base. Call me old-fashioned and traditional. I just like a big righty bat at first.
Dan Ball, before you get into trending voice, use your regular voice.
Yeah.
Successful season?
Yeah, I think so. And I think two things can be true, where it was a successful year compared to expectation and compared to past years, but you can also be disappointed and recognize the Red Sox lost a very winnable series to a team that is not unequivocally better than them. So it's a successful season with an ending that I think left a lot to be desired. That's where I landed.
I also think you have to judge the Red Sox, who they were on October 2nd, not necessarily the theoretical version of the Red Sox that, who did we have? MLB.com picked Braves Red Sox World Series. Like, there were some World Series predictions.
Yeah, no
before
question.
Before the playoffs or before the season?
Before the season. And that's my point.
Red Sox and Rangers were your ALCS matchup.
They were a very different team back then, and the projection of the team, because you had Roman Anthony on the horizon back then. Like, if they're good enough, then this guy could come up and help them, whatever. And then you were a shell of yourself last night.
That's fair, but you also should have won game two, even with the group that you had. You lost a winnable one-run game in game two where we shouldn't have even had to worry about Schlittler and Walpole and his family's Yankees fans and all that kind of stuff. So that part of it is definitely disappointing, but I think when you, like you said, when you zoom out and look at the entire thing compared to expectation, getting fans back, are fans excited for 2026 more so than 2025?
Yes.
Absolutely the case.
And now the bar is much higher heading into 2026. Now,
right. Good luck, Breslow.
Now you can't try to backdoor into the wild card. You can't be on the road for the wild card. You need to be competing for the AL East or at worst a top wild card spot. So next year at this time in October, it's at Fenway Park, the three-game series. And then you advance from there. No question, expectations have changed. 617-779-7937. Coming up next, as Fitzy alluded to, Rob Bradford. He was with this baseball team all year. He's been with us each and every week, breaking it down, thanks to our friends at McFarland. We'll get Bradfoe's thoughts on last night's game and the season as a whole. That's up next on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app
or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
El Baseball, known as El Barrito.
Hopefully, Brad Boe can bring some levity. The day after, the aftermath, Red Sox lose 4-0 in New York. They lose the wild card series. And the season is over. Joining us on the phone line now is indeed Rob Bradford, host of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
McFarlane!
And he gets right ahead of it because Bradfo is presented by McFarlane Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlaneEnergy.com.
Do you think Bradfo's just like at dinner in, you know, some fancy restaurant and just screams out, McFarlane?
Absolutely. I was envisioning him in bed at night, like as a nightmare.
Like,
McFarlane!
McFarlane!
Oh, my God. McFarlane!
And his wife's like, shut up with the McFarlane!
Hi, guys.
What's up?
By the way, that wasn't me. That was not me yelling McFarlane. That was a stage McFarlane by the producer.
That's what we all say.
Yell, sure. But I will gladly yell McFarlane 50,000 times. I just drove from New York to Philadelphia, and in every toll booth, I shouted it in their face. So there you go. And I got through it for free. That's how it works.
No context, no nothing, just the name.
No, nothing.
McFarlane can do a lot of great things. Can they make us feel better about the fact that this series petered out? You win game one, and historically that means you win the series, except they didn't. And we have Kyle Hudson, Nate Eaton et al. To blame, Jaron Duran. Where is your angst most focused, if there is any, coming out of this disappointing end to what was a pretty entertaining season?
Yeah, I don't know if I have angst. I think that today I've been saying to people, I think the reality of the Red Sox was something that we were sort of disguising for a little bit here, is that, you know, I kept saying to you guys a lot of times where, like, I don't know how they're going to score a run, and then they put up a bunch of runs. And I think that what happened is that you get to the point where you weren't putting up a bunch of runs. You weren't doing it. There wasn't the answers. And, yeah, sure, you went up against really good pitching, but that's another thing where I look at this team, and I was a little wary of, which is when you go up against elite pitchers, that they might have problems. And they did have problems because they weren't elite hitters, and their elite hitters weren't near elite hitters. So I think the biggest angst, if there's anything, it was like, oh man, you know what? We fooled ourselves. Like, we fooled ourselves into thinking that when you go up against playoff caliber pitching like you did, that you were going to be able to function like you had so many times when you were resilient, and that just wasn't the case.
You know, Brad Foe, I mean, I guess along those same lines, I mean, what are you most disappointed in this year, or, you know, maybe even in the series? And it's because it was kind of pretty much exemplified the whole season. Is it the hitting, the pitching, or the defense that you're most disappointed in?
Well, I was disappointed that I broke my vow of not going to the ice cream machine in the press box more than three times. So, I mean, that was like, but you get to September, you know, yeah, you get to September and it's all bets are off.
So, I love how it wasn't going to it at all. It was going to it more than three times. You even gave yourself a window.
Andy, we have to be realistic. Though.
That's true. That's true.
I think that one of the things as I said, I just drove down to Philadelphia and I just talked to Walker Buehler. And, you know, we could say we want what we want about Walker Buehler, but could they have used Walker Buehler? Yes. Like, this version of Walker Buehler? Probably. And I mean, that wasn't best case scenario. That wasn't solution. But I think when they went to the trade deadline and they said, this is what we need, and we didn't get it, and we had to start rookie Conley early, not to say that that was his fault, because I don't think it was. I think it was terrible fundamentals. It was terrible defense. And but still, I mean, if you could get that guy, you feel good about him, much like the Yankees, they were able to roll out three legit starters. The Red Sox weren't able to do that. They just simply weren't. They rolled out Crochet. They rolled up a bad version of Bayo. They had to do a bullpen game, and then they rolled out a rookie. Like, that wasn't the best-case scenario. And I know that I come back to the offense, and the trade deadline was tricky because, you needed offense at the trade deadline ultimately, but it wasn't a priority. But where you landed, you certainly needed a lot of offense. So I don't know for the offense if I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they did this or didn't do that. Because it's because at that time, it wasn't really the thing. But ultimately, maybe what they should have understood is that at the end of the day, it was going to be the thing, and they weren't going to be able to, as I said at the beginning, hit really, really good playoff pitching.
Yeah, it felt like a ragtag motley crew at best towards the end there, Bradfoe, and I don't think any of us should really be surprised. They were just driving through the check engine light at the end there. But as far as, like, you know, I don't want to sit in the sad and, like, reflect on what could have been. Like, there's a lot of work that's going to need to go into this team looking forward. So before we get into the stuff that they need, who would you say you'd buy into or believe is most likely not going to be on the team next year?
Ooh, not going to be on a team.
Could be part of the trade.
Duran. I mean, Duran, I think. And, you know, I think that it's going to be really interesting. We said all along that, you know, at the time of the deadline, you weren't trading Duran because of what he meant to that team, both on the field and off the field. But, you know, his Q rating has gone down significantly.
So's his average.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, and also, like, you know, his defense, his throwing, it's everything. He just was a shell of what he was, used to be. And so, you know, we all knew, guys, that you're going to have to deal one of these outfielders with Roman Anthony. And let's not forget the Roman Anthony dynamic. I don't know if anyone cares about that. And by the way, he wasn't coming back. He was like, he wasn't even doing baseball stuff. He was never coming back. Yeah. And so, but, you know, I think that they have to trade one of these guys. I think that what they saw from Duran wasn't necessarily exactly what they want from that position. They want better defense. They want more consistent offense. He wasn't able to hit lefties. He wasn't the version of Duran they had the year before that San Diego fell in love with. So I would think that that would be a very, very real thing, because it's going to be one of those guys. And my guess is that they like Rafaela and they like Willie Abreu. And obviously Yoshida sort of revitalized himself to show what he can do. So, you know, I think that that's probably the guy more than anything. And I know that you're going to bring up Bregman, but, you know, I'm sitting here, guys, and I'm like, wow, you know, you opt out of that deal with those numbers after that second half.
Nope, no way he is.
That's still hard for me to get my head around. It really is.
Rob Bradford, host of Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, WEEI.com, here on WEEI Afternoons. What do you think the biggest need will be? You know, I know there's a long way to go to get into this, but is it a big right-handed bat? Is it Joe Ryan, that number two starter that everybody still has dreams of trading for? Where do you think the biggest need is for this team?
I do think that they probably have to take another run at Joe Ryan. I think they do, and they probably will. And because you look at, like, what Bayo became, but still you can't just say, okay, there's your no doubt about it number two guy. He's still a work in progress, as we saw the other day. But you also have to find some offense, guys. I mean, you just have to. And what you're going to do at first base, that's going to be a big mystery. The guy I'm sitting here, you know, we're just in the clubhouse, Kyle Schwarber. And do I think he's going to end up with the Red Sox? No. Do I think they should make the strongest run possible at him? Yes. Do I think they will make the strongest run possible at him? No. Because it's going to be – Because it's, you know, I think Alex Cora is no mystery how much he likes the guy and wants the guy. He basically, when they were in Philadelphia in his press conferences, all but called him over and said, hey, let me give you this bouquet of roses. Come on over just to be nice. But I think that it's for good reason. Like, he's sort of the Bregman guy. he's the guy that maybe some people in the front office say, well, he's not. We can do with Nolan Arenado. We can do without him. No, man. Like he does all the things that you don't necessarily see. He is a value. And by the way, another part of this equation, Bregman did so much for that clubhouse, but you have to keep going down that road. You can't take a step back because you still have – Rafael is 25 years old. 25 years old. These guys are still young guys. They're still figuring it out. They still have to be directed in the right direction. And a guy, and Bregman's that guy to do it, but also get a guy like Schwarber. It's a huge, huge difference maker.
So just based on, you know, the idea of Marcelo coming back healthy and Roman Anthony coming back healthy and, you know, and maybe signing a bat in free agency and a pitcher, what would be your way too early kind of expectations for this team for next year? Do you expect this team to be right at least back to where it was this year and better?
Oh, yeah. I think they'll be better. I think that, you know, there's no ignoring that, you know, the Devers trade wasn't, you know, necessarily about Kyle Harrison or Jordan Hicks. It was about money. They showed, you can talk about what you want about them without not doing enough of the trade deadline. Certainly had a good offseason, and they spent money in the offseason. So they have this money. I would imagine they're going to use it to get better. They have these key guys locked up, including, by the way, Aroldis Chapman. So you have Whitlock. So you have that 1-2 there. You have the starting rotation. You have a ton of pitchers who could fill in, and some of them probably take step forward. So yeah, they're going to be better. And again, Roman Anthony is was an enormous loss. And the problem is that when Roman Anthony got hurt, you didn't get the best version of Yoshida. And by the time you did, you weren't getting the best version of Duran. So you need to figure that out. But I do think, to answer your question, Ted, I do think that they will be considered by a lot of people as the favorites in the division next year.
All right, last one here, Bradfo. It's a quick two-parter. One, Pete Alonso, could he opt out and be of interest to you? And two, who's in the Bradfo World Series?
Ooh, well, I think Pete Alonso's absolutely going to opt out. I don't think, once again, I don't think he'll end up with the Red Sox. And it's a little bit risky move, I think, by Boris. It'll be a risky move by Boris with Bregman, too, if he convinces him to opt out, I think. They can say, well, the qualifying offer is not attached. Well, you know, so what? It's, you know, it's still, you got guys in their 30s and teams are building teams in a different way. So, yeah, you know, I would love to see Pete Alonso with the Red Sox, but sad trombone. I don't think it's going to happen. And then who's going to be in the World Series? Well, you know, I think that I'm going to go with the Yankees in the World Series because they have the three stars and they don't have to do those bullpen shenanigans, which every other team is trying to do. And I'll go with this team right here, the Phillies. So the Philly Dodgers, I think whatever team wins is going to be in the World Series. But the Phillies, man, they're built for this thing. And I'll go with the Phillies to win it all. It'll be a good World Series, though. I know that nobody wants to hear it, but yay baseball.
Bradfo, this is probably too big a question to sneak in under the wire, but I'm going to try it anyway. We've gotten a lot of texts and complaints. Are they going to spend money? Are they going to fill the Devers slot? If a guy like Bregman opts out, will they fill the Bregman slot? Or is there a chance that they look at all the young players and just try to stay young and build? There's definitely still concerns in Red Sox Nation about spending.
Yeah. I don't see. They don't get. It's weird because, right, they still don't have the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that, even after the offseason, even after the extensions, even after the Crochet deal, even after you sign Bregman and all that. But, you know, I do think that they will spend money because of that. I think they should get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt off of last year, and they do have that money. And I think they can taste this. Like, yes, they have young guys coming up, but they're right now, they're at that point even more than last year where they sort of push their chips to the middle of the table. This is a time to get some more chips and push them even further. And I think they understand that. I think they did on the deadline and they didn't execute. But in the offseason, listen, they're one for one with really good off seasons in the last year anyway. So, you know, let's see what I'm pretty optimistic they're going to spend some money.
All right. Well, while you're down there, tell Schwarber that when he opts out, when he hits the market to come back to Boston, we need him. We want him. They'll pay him. I'll chip in $5.
Listen, a regular appearance on WEI afternoons.
Damn right.
That's gold.
Anytime he wants. Tell him Ted Johnson will personally escort him to and from the studio every day.
I love that guy. Kidding me?
All right, Bradfo.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for joining us. Right, we'll talk to you down the road. See ya, McFarland.
All right, sounds McFarland. Good. See ya. McFarland.
Oh, Bradfoe's tired. The season worn on him. Did
McFarland,
you hear?
McFarland.
Oh, McFarland. 617-779-7937. How'd you feel about Bradfoe? Because I got to tell you, he didn't make me feel great when he said, well, should they do this? Will they do this? I don't know. Does Cora want him? Sure, but the front office doesn't want him. I'm worried about they're not all on the same path over there at Fenway Park. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
You also have to find some offense, guys. I mean, you just have to. And what you're going to do at first base, that's going to be a big mystery. The guy I'm sitting here, you know, we're just in the clubhouse, Kyle Schwarber. And do I think he's going to end up with the Red Sox? No. Do I think they should make the strongest run possible at him? Yes. Do I think they will make the strongest run out possible, Adam? No.
Rob Bradford here, WEEI Afternoons. Not exactly building optimism in me. Should they do this? Yes. Will they do this? No.
I was a little confused. He said they don't have an option at first base. Is Tristan Casas not expected to come back and play for this team next year?
He's not expected by me.
Okay.
But yes, I think they believe.
What are the Red Sox thinking?
Physically, I don't.
Teddy, he told you what he thinks. Isn't that enough?
Physically, could he come back? Sure. But he was already trending toward he wasn't the guy he was supposed to be. I still think that
you would be correct.
The famous quote of 40 and 120 or whatever that Breslow threw out there, I think it was fluff. I think he wanted to trade him all along. He was hoping he could get him hot at some point and deal that sun gun.
Who's that?
Damn it, Tristan.
Casas.
who wanted to trade him?
Breslow, the GM.
What am I doing out there, man?
He's the one who fluffed him up that he was a 40 and 120, and I was like, you're out of your mind, bro, if you think he's 40 and 120.
What the man?
So you think he was just saying that to
put that out there, and then if by chance he gets hot for like a week, 10 days, trade his ass to Seattle for a pitcher or something of that nature. Yeah. I don't think they have organizational faith in Tristan Casas.
I would hope that they wouldn't, because it just feels like he's not the guy.
He's the backup now. If he happens to get healthy and then start hitting bombs and going the other way, and this is typically Andy, that one game I went to where he went oppo into the monster seats, and I was like, oh, I see what they're seeing here. But
I don't think he fits the profile. I just don't like the makeup, his personality makeup. I don't think it fits with the younger guys.
He's weird. Though they embraced it in a weird way, I don't think they really liked it.
You got to be really good if you're going to be that weird. Like, you got to ball out like Mac Jones did if you're going to wear a suit like that. If Tristan Casas, you're going to be weird, you better be a baller.
Yeah, like Martellus Bennett is a similar guy that I always thought. Patriots players seem to always roll their eyes when he was doing those weird, Fitzy, you'd remember like NASA press conferences or whatever they were.
Or jumping out on the field and grabbing pom-poms from the cheerleaders and dancing and, you know, writing kids' books. He was a weird dude.
He was weird. And I remember one player, I'll leave the player's name out of it, is he said something to like, that guy's talking again or something, like annoyed that he was holding another press conference. And I feel like they kind of feel like that about Casas and his histrionics or whatever. But the other thing that Fitzy, like, he thinks Jarren Duran is gone. The problem with Jarren Duran being gone is, did opposing teams watch this year?
Yeah.
Because whatever you were going to get, subtract 30% at this point, or maybe more.
Totally. If you would have, even the trade deadline, you would have gotten more for him.
Yeah, now he's had a full bad year, a full bad postseason, and if anything, doesn't really look good. Right now, if you said, is he a good player? Just what you've seen over like the last couple weeks, is he a good player?
No, he's not.
He's not. No. And that's not to say that that totally wipes out last year when he was an MVP caliber player. Oh, but yeah. Are you going to snooker some GM into, oh, no, he's still as good as he ever was?
I feel like he just feels pressure, Fitzy. Like he's pressure coming off of an all-star type performance last year. Now he's got to prove it this year. And then pressure next year would be, well, he had a bad year this year, so he's got to pressure to make up for how bad he played this year. I just think the kid feels too much pressure. I don't trust between the ears that he's got what it takes to play consistently at this level.
And an argument might be made by both he and his representative that a change of scenery to perhaps a smaller market where there is less pressure on him would allow him to sort of breathe, rediscover himself, and thrive. Listen, by the way, his bad year, I'll take his bad year. Sure, the batting average was down a bit, as were the home runs. Still scored a ton of runs. Still was an offensive contributor all season long. Like, I think he's got the ability to be a force on field and off once again. Mm-hmm. And if Bradfo is that certain that it's time for team and player to part ways, then he best be the centerpiece of either a massive right-handed bat or more than likely a number two starter.
So to summarize Bradfo, Jarren Duran gone, Pete Alonso not coming, Kyle Schwarber.
We didn't ask him about Kyle Tucker.
We didn't ask about Kyle Tucker.
He's supposed to opt out his contract with the Cubs, and I would love Kyle Tucker because now he can play left field, he can play right field. He's a left-handed batter. Please.
I would take Kyle Tucker. I mean, I need to dig a little deeper into what the hell went wrong this year in Chicago for Kyle Tucker because he had a down year, and I know there was a wrist injury, I want to say, that he started to scuffle after that, and it got so bad that they benched him, give him a little bit of the time to collect himself and figure out what was going on. But people were talking about $500 million. For Kyle Tucker, that he was going to be a $500 million player. Oh. If he's a $500 million player, you better figure out why it went wrong in Chicago this year because I don't want it going wrong in Boston for $500 million. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 5 o'clock. It's time for The Drive. We need to figure out what the hell went wrong with the Boston Red Sox. Was it a successful season, and will it be a successful Sunday night for Drake May and the Patriots in Buffalo? That's all next on The Drive here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.